begin to learn the sugyas of Chesukos, I really break down Chesukos into two different categories. One is the creation of the cheftz of the sukkah, what constitutes a kosher sukkah. Then number two is, once they have a kosher sukkah, what in the world am I supposed to do with the sukkah? What is the mitzvah yeshiva that the Torah requires of us? So we'll try to spend a little bit of time on both aspects of Hilchas Sukkah. So when we speak about the cheftz of a sukkah, so the Mishnayos, the Gemara is very, very clear that there are two distinct parts that make up the status of a sukkah. There are certain halachas that govern the defunus of the sukkah, and there are certain halachas that govern the schach of the sukkah. Let's begin with the basics. So we'll start with the funnest of the sukkah. So the first Mishnah, Maseches Sukkah, tells us that there's a certain minimum amount of walls that a sukkah has to have. What are those minimum amount of walls? So the Mishnah records the opinion that it has to be three walls. There's one thought that says it's four walls. We don't pass like that. We pass in that it has to be three walls. Is there any reason to make more than three walls? Is that like a b'di'evet to have three walls? So there's a very, very difficult tosis in Maseches Rosh Hashanah in the third paragraph of Kaf Ches. The tosis suggests the possibility that maybe lechatchili you shouldn't really have a three-wall sukkah, because if you have a four-wall sukkah, that's much more of a yeshiva, that's more of a tejra keitaduru, that's much more of a living place. Most houses don't have an entire open wall. So Taisa says that maybe that would be a great akim of tejra keitaduru. Taisa says that the answer kasha that they're bothered with, it's a question we probably wouldn't have been bothered with, but Taisa's bothered with this kasha. Taisa says, if the din is that three walls is kosher, so what right do you have to make a fourth wall? Maybe it should be a violation about Tosif. From left field, Tosif says Zukasha. If you build a four-wall sukkah, you're a shavanist and they're ice about Tosif. So Tosif explains to you why it's not. So in the middle of that discussion, Tosif says, maybe the reason why it's not is because, forget, the Torah is not saying daf could make three walls. The Torah is saying three is a minimum, but if you want to make four, that's matoif, but that's better. It's a better mitzvah sukkah. So Tosif suggests that, then Tosif is doicha, then it's back and forth and back and forth. But in the middle of that Tosif seems to stick to that idea that there's some kind of a lechet chil or hitter to make a four-wall sukkah. So in Shulchan Aruch, that is not quoted b'chol. Not even a zeicher of that. We assume that a three-wall sukkah is totally, completely a kosher. So the din is that a sukkah has to have three walls. So what constitutes a wall in halacha? So the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Maseches Sukkah that the basic rules of the halacha Moshe Mesinai that govern the rules of mechitzas and other areas of halacha govern the rules of mechitzas and defanos and ilchos sukkah as well. So what are the basic din of mechitzas? So the Gemara says that it has to be 10 tvachim tall. How do you know it has to be 10 tvachim tall? So the Gemara has a machlekes haTorah and what the source for that din is. So one Tana says it's pure halacha Moshe Mesinai, that there's no pasuk, there's no mokon teshem b'chzav, it's just absolute tradition, there's no way at all to explain any logic to this, it's just kach nemar halacha. And the other Tana says, no, that's actually based on psukim. What's based on psukim? Because the Torah says it has to be sukkos, and the Torah in Parshas Truma speaks about the kruvim being vayu parsim kafeim sochem mechanfeim. So the Torah uses a lashon sochech, the lashon of sukkah. Gemara makes a whole complicated cheshbin as to how tall the aron was and how tall the parechas was and how tall the kruvim was. Langer Megillah comes out the 10 tvachim. So at the end of the day, everybody agrees that it has to be 10 tvachim. It's just that we're not sure what the mokor is. Very often you have this in the Gemara that there'll be a din that everybody agrees to, but we're not sure what the mokor is. So this is a good example. One Tana says there's a mokor in Toshav of Sav, and the other one says there's no mokor in Toshav of Sav, it's pure Toshav of Peh. At the end of the day, it doesn't make much of a difference for us that the bare bone minimum of a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim tall. When we say that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim tall, and it follows many of the other halachas of Hilchos Erev and Hilchos Shabbos, so with this background, the Mishnah speaks about the following. Let's say I have a dofen, a mechitz of a sukkah, but it's not sitting on the ground. It's suspended in midair, suspended 3 feet off the ground. So the Mishnah quotes a machlekes satanam, would that be good? So the Gemara relates that to maybe the same exact shaila, maybe a different shaila, but it's at least related to some degree to the question of Hilchos Shabbos, when you have mechitzas that are suspended, is that considered to be a good mechitz or not? So we pass it halacha that's no good, both in Shabbos and in Sukkah. That's what we call a mechitza tluya. That if you have, even though the height of the mechitza is 10 tvachim, but if it doesn't start on the ground, that's a problem. And we say that it has to start on the ground, so then the Mishnah continues by telling us, but there's a halacha Moshe Mesinai, both in Shabbos and in Sukkah, that it can be within 3 tvachim of the ground. And that's also okay. And if it's within 3 tvachim of the ground, that's considered to be lovud. So technically speaking, you can have a mechitza that's not even quite it's not so big at all. As long as it's a little bit more than seven, it's a little bit less than 3 off the ground. So that could technically be a 10 tvachim. So you count from the ground, and then whatever is is love, it's kesasim dami, and hocus pocus, you have a mechitza, even though the physical part of the mechitza is significantly less than 10 tvachim, that's also okay. So a lot of the dinim that carry over from Hilchos Shabbos carry over to Chasukah as well. Not all of them, but many of the dinim do carry over. So then the Gemara speaks about the fact that you have to have three walls. So the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us that the third wall doesn't have to, the Gemara elaborates on this Mishnah, the third wall doesn't have to be an absolute full wall. But we have a special Allah Moshe Masina Shlish Safil Tefach. Normally there's a whole shiur as to how big the walls have to be. We'll talk about that a little bit later, what the shiurim of the Sukkara. But that third wall doesn't have to be a full size wall, it could even be a tefach. So in Min HaTorah, you can have a wall this way, and a wall this way, and then you put a third wall. The third wall is just a tefach long, and that's good to go. So the Gemara says that even though that's the Din Min HaTorah, but Midi Rabbanan, that's a problem. Midi Rabbanan, you have to beef up that third wall a little bit. How do you beef it up? So the Gemara has a whole sugi about. You start creating Tzuras HaPesach, then you make it a few tefachim away, and you make a whole chagaj, a whole story to beef up that third wall. So you shouldn't think that just because everyone knows the din. Shnayim kiuchos are shlishi mil tefach. That's the din midaraisa. But midirabanan, you have to do a little bit more to that third wall to make it look a little bit more respectable. But again, midaraisa, that's the din. But shnayim kiuchos are shlishi mil tefach. How long do the walls have to be? What is the shear of the shtayim kiuchosam? So this was a big machlekes atram. So three way machlekes atanoim. What is the shear of the urich and the reichim of the sukkah? So the Gemara explains to us in Masechah Sukkah that this revolves around the fundamental question, which touches many, many dinim of Hilchos Sukkah. As there's this almost like this like inner contradiction within Hilchos Sukkah, like a conflict, gnawing at us in Hilchos Sukkah. On the one hand, the Torah says Besukkos Teishvu. So Teishvu is a Lashon Yeshiva, a Lashon Dira. That's what the Teshuva Pesach says. Teishvu Kein Tadura. And we'll see as we go on next week. We'll talk maybe a little bit more about the mitzvah of Sukkah. So all the activities that you have to do in the Sukkah are all revolving around the word yeshiva, which is a Lashon Dira. So we want to mimic our house. We live in our house, so we're supposed to live in the sukkah. So a sukkah should be as close to a house as possible. On the other hand, the Torah says, Shivas Yomim, the Lamaisi don't live in the sukkah the whole year. You only live there for 7 days. So that phrase, Shivas Teishu, Shivas Yomim, seems to conjure up the image that the sukkah really should not be like the house. The sukkah actually should be a little bit different than the house. So it's those, almost like that inner contradiction, that discrepancy within the sukkah that created a tension, that created a major, major machlekes atanoim throughout the Masechta. About fundamentally, when we build a sukkah, is our goal diras kever, is our goal diras aroi, and there are many, many, many different applications, manifestations of that shaila. So, in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara has the same idea when it comes to the size of the sukkah. What should our imagery be in terms of a sukkah? So, the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Masechah Sukkah that there are many, many dinim in the Torah that revolve around the word bayis. Bayis is a halachic concept. Let's say, Lamashal, you have to put up a mezuzah if you have a bayis, or let's say there's a din. If you built a house and you haven't been me'isha bona bayis lochanocho, that's a p'tur from the army, so they have to build a bayis. There's a mitzvah basisa makel yagach, yisiv the bayis chodosh. There are a lot of halachas that revolve around the term bayis. There are dinim midaraisa that revolve around the term bayis, and there are dinim midarabon, of Erevin, and then Tchumen, all kind of dinim that revolve around the term bayis. So comes the Gemara and says that we have a shear, that a bayis is a bare minimum of dalal amos by dalal amos. If you have a house less than dalal amos, it's nishkin bayis. That's not called a bayis. How do Chazal know that? So the Pashup Shad is that's halacha moshe m'sina. The Gemara says that shiurim halacha moshe m'sina. Whenever you have these seemingly arbitrary shiurim of 4 tvachim, 3 tvachim, 10 tvachim, dalal amos, things like that, those are usually indicative that they're halacha moshe m'sina. So the Gemara says at the beginning of Masechah Sukkah, that any time the halacha requires a bayis, it has to always be dalad amos by dalad amos. So it's based on that the Gemara quotes one Tana, Rabbi Dan Nosi, was of the opinion that a sukkah has to be a bayis. How did he know that? Because two sukkahs teishu. You have teishu kei taduru. So you live in a house. So you live in a house. If you live in the sukkah, so your sukkah has to be the same bare bone minimum shear as a house has to be. And therefore, according to Rabbi Dan Nosi, if your sukkah is less than dalad by dalad, it's possible in a Torah. And the Gemara says that the other Tanaim didn't accept this. The other Tanaim said, no, the sukkah doesn't have to be a diras keva. Forget it, sukkah is a diras aroi. And therefore, it doesn't have to be as big as a bayis. So how big does it have to be? According to all the other Tanaim, who disagreed with the Rebbe and said, that sukkah diras aroi b'yina. And therefore, it doesn't have to be dalad amos b'dalad amos. So what does it have to be? So it has to be big enough to be dar in it. So diras chatsa diras aroi. So how much is that? So then the Gemara quotes, the Mishnah quotes a further machlokes at the Rebbe. This was an old machlokes to Mishnah and Bishilel. Rabbi Dan Nosi lived hundreds of years after Mishnah and Bishilel. So Rabbi Dan Nosi apparently, either he was arguing with everybody, or he claimed the Beis Hillel, B'Sham, never really argued about this, so we're not exactly sure what to do with that. But Rabbi Danossi was mamish in his own world in terms of this. He held that it's a Diras Kevel, like other Tanaim held, but that was his unique Shita. And all the other Rabbanim disagreed, but within the view of the Chamu Achaylek, then there was a further breakdown between the older generations, between the Tamidim, B'Sham, Beis Hillel, what exactly constitutes a Dira, at least the size of a Dira for a Diras Arai. So the Beis Hillel said that it has to be big enough that a normal-sized person can get into it. If you can't walk into it, so then, so what kind of deer is that? So even though you happen to be a small person, but the halacha was nikva lafi adam beinoni. So if I'm a very small guy, and I can sneak in here, but an average person can't even put his body in there, so those are the shkein dira. So Beis Hillel said, so how big does a place have to be for an average person to get in? So the Gemara says that an average person is about an amma. Body of a person is a berach and amma. So an amma is a six tvachim. So Beis Hillel said it has to be six tvachim by six tvachim. So did that mean because Beis Hillel thought that an average person is six tvachim in both directions? I'm not sure what that's what they meant. Or they meant that you have to be able to walk in and turn around a little bit. If I can walk in, I can't even turn. So that's no good. So you have to have the ability that they have a box of six tvachim by six tvachim. That was Beis Hillel's view. So Beis Shammai turned around to Beis Hillel and they said, wait a second. He said, but where are you going to put your table? Where are you going to put your food? How are you going to do a Maisa Dira? The bare bone minimum of a Maisa Dira is you have to be able to eat. So if, just because I'm able to shove myself in, and I'll finagle my way in, but I can't even put down a table. So Beis Shammai says, you have to have a place to put down some food. So how big is your chalarol? Not so big. So you have to have a very small table. A small table is a chatefach. So Beis Shammai says, you have to add on another tefach to this year. So Dalal Amas Rabbi Danossi, that Yizicha don't need. That's Diras Kevel, we don't want that. We suffice with an Amma, but B'Shama added on a seventh Tefach. So there was Machlekes and Rishayim, is that seventh Tefach of B'Shama Yadin Derais, or is that only Yadin Midrabanan? So that was a big Machlekes Rishayim beginning with Sechah Sukkah. Some said that Minatorah, they said, was right, of course, what do you need a table for Minatorah? And the Ran writes, no, that if you don't have a table, that's not even a dira, it's a dira srucha. So nobody would live in such a thing. Even a dira saroy is the shkin dira. So that's the machlekes. Why are we spending so much time on Beishamai Shita? Because the Gemara says in the beginning, so we pass like Beishamai. This is one of the few exceptions where the halacha follows Beishamai, and that's the din. The Yitakanit is seven tvachim by seven tvachim. That's how we pass in Lach Lemaisa. That a sukkah has to be a bare bone minimum of seven tvachim by seven tvachim. According to many Rishonim, that seventh tefach is taka adin midarais. And there is machlekes acharonim about, let's say you have a sukkah that's 49 tefachim by one tefach. So it's a very, very long sukkah, very, 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 very thin sukkah. So most of the acharonim say that's not going to work because lamai, you can't live there. What kind of bakam dibra is that? So even though in terms of area, in terms of math, maybe you have the same area of space, but lamai, so you don't have a normal living area. So that probably wouldn't be good. So that's how we pass in halach. The sukkah's got to be the bare bone minimum. So now going back to what we said before, when the din is that you need shtayim kilchus on the shlishis afilu tefach. So even though Minat Torah, the third wall, doesn't really have to be seven tefachim. So Minat Torah, you can have seven tefachim here, and the third wall could just be a tefach. But with the Rabbanan, you have to beef it up a little bit. So the way to beef it up is some kind of a way, either through Tzus HaPesach, through the Lovah, some other kind of games, to get it to be that it's seven tefachim as well. If you have two walls, seven by seven, and then you have a third wall, seven tefachim, then for sure you're good to go. That's for sure good, both Minat Torah and with the Rabbanan. Then you can eat the entire sukkah. Even though, let's say, that's not complicated. Here's one wall. There's one wall, there's another wall, and now I have a third wall over here. So I could eat in this corner also, even though technically speaking there's no wall on my side. But as long as one of the walls goes out, so that's still considered to be as long as it's chach, no chach, it's no good. But that's what's called psalia, it's mirsukha, that's also okay. So as long as you have that basic structure of two walls and a third wall of shlish sefil tefach slash the seven tefachim, that would be okay. Somebody asked me a very complicated, convoluted shadow this year about some sukkah. That a lot of it had to do with the shlish sefil tefach and the raisis and the rabbanans and maislach. It was so complicated because they were eating someone else's sukkah and they didn't have the structure wasn't done properly. We're sitting and measuring tefachim and the raisis the tefachim and the rabbanans the tefachim and the fakers the tefachim. So you're not supposed to build sukkahs like that. You're supposed to build the sukkah normally with the three walls or four walls, but like a mensch. You're not supposed to start crunching the numbers a little bit and trying to dig up a 2.86 new tefachim sukkah. That's the wrong way to build a sukkah. Anyway, back to this. But you have to look at the dinner more anyway, just in case somebody calls you wants to know. So back to this story. So we have our structure of a sukkah, the three wall, two and a half, or whatever you want to call it. We have our all the walls are at least 10 tefachim tall, and they're all sitting on the ground or even within the lovet of the ground. So those are all okay. Those are all perfectly legitimate. And now the Gemara quotes Machlekes HaTanoim that are there any halachas as to what material the walls have to be made of. So we know that when we get to the schach, we get to that a little bit later. Maybe next week, we get to the schach, so then there are a lot of very, very important halachas in terms of the schach. All the dinim that the schach have to be, they have to be from something that's not directly to the ground, and something that grew in the ground, amakamotumo, all the dinim that the Gemara derives from sukkim, this all refer to the schach. Does any of this apply to the defunus or not? So the Gemara quotes a machlekes HaTanoim about this, and we pass the halacha that not. The defunus are not considered to be subject to any of these dinim, and therefore, kolos and defunus. Basically, any material, there are sizes and dimensions for the defunus, but in terms of material, so any material is good enough for the defunus. But the Gemara does quote in the Sechah Berachah Masechah Sukkah, the following: let's say I have a dofen of a sukkah, and it's made of any material, but it's not a very sturdy material. That's what's called Ein Yichol Lama Baruch Mitzuya. That it can't hold its own in a ruach mitzuya. So the Gemara says that's a problem. Why is that a problem? So the Gemara says that's not a din in the chesukah. That's a general din. Kol tarakulu v'chus mechitzas. That same halacha is true when it comes to Shabbos. Say, I want to make an Erev to enclose an area to make it into a Shasa Yochid, and the thing that I put up a sheet, and the sheet's flying in the wind. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says, that's no good. That's a Mechitish Einich Olam of Neharuach, and that Poshim Shaz, that's no good in the Torah. So the Gemara says, it doesn't really matter what material you make it, you suck away with it to make sure that it doesn't fall apart in the wind. So there was a big Machlegis.
What about Maimed?
We didn't get to the Schach yet. I get to the. That's a whole other story. Okay, Maimon is only once we decide what's possible schach, then we have to discuss what if it's not the schach proper, what if it's something that's holding up the schach. So we got to get to the schach part next.
The walls aren't the part holding up the schach.
The walls are probably the least of the Maimon problems. Okay, we'll get to Maimon. Next we'll talk about Maimon maybe. So it's this Gemara that has created havoc in America in the last 30, 40 years. There was a big machlekes in Rishonim. What do the words mean? That a mechitz has to be yichol lama beruach. That's the phrase Chazal used. Yichol lama beruach mitzuya. So it was usually assumed. I think Pashas Advarim was that omed means omed. Omed means to stand. When I'm standing in place, omed. When I'm swaying and moving in the wind, is nishkin omed. So when you have a mechitz that's very flimsy, that it's flying in the wind and going back and forth and back and forth, even though it's not falling down, it's just not standing in one place, it's moving around, that's called the Mechitza She'en Yichol Olam Baruch Mitzuya. That was the, I think everybody assumed, the simple pshat. And Chazanish said that he found the Ritva that doesn't seem to say that Yichol Olam Baruch Mitzuya doesn't mean that it has to stay, there's no halacha that this Mechitza has to stay in place. The din is that the Mechitza can't fall down. So if the Mechitza falls down, that's a problem. Even though right now it's not falling down. Why is it not falling down now? Because it's not windy. So it's a beautiful, very light breeze day, but if a Ruach Mitzuya, let's say, I don't know, 10 miles now, 50 miles, whatever you think the Shia of Ruach Mitzuya is, if it would be a windy day, then it would topple the entire Mechitz is so flimsy, it would not much fall on its face, or the Chaznish says it would get lifted up to the point where it's above 3 tefach above the ground, so that not be a loch, let's command the Lesa, that's the problem. But if you have a Mechitz that it's tied down and it says it's not going off the ground, it's not falling anywhere, it's just dust in the wind, so blowing in the wind. So that's not a problem. That's called Mechitza Yechol Lamed. So that machlokes in the Gedolei HaPoskim about whether that kind of a mechitza is acceptable, that became the background for the whole pilpul about the canvas sukkahs. So already for many years, people have been building these canvas sukkahs. Right, Shulchan Aruch talks about the canvas, taking sheets and tying them down. So some poskim were vehemently opposed to these canvas sukkahs because they felt that any chalam baruch would see it. Well, you see a nice good wind, a nice breezy day, and this flapping and back and forth. So those who wanted to be machshir them claim that, but it's, they're tied down, they're not going anywhere, they're not falling down, they're not lifting up off three tvachim, they're just the wind, the canvas itself is flying in the wind. So according to the Chazanish, according to that Ritva, that would be acceptable. So that was the first issue that the poskim discussed. So then over the years, about 25, 30 years ago, give or take. So some came up with the following eight. So this was already an old machlokes about whether the canvas are good or not. So some said, you know what, maybe we can come up with an eight to make the canvas sukkahs kosher holidays, even according to the machamir. Based on what eight can you come up with? So they came up with the following chap. that there is a sugya that appears in the first parak of Masechet Erevin, and again, we've seen that many halachos of sukkah and Erevin go hand in hand, is that you could make a wall for an Erev based on the following principle. When we learned this halacha was called Lavud. So what would it then be as follows? Let's say I want to build a wall for an Erev. So instead of putting a solid brick wall, I take a piece of wood and I hammer a piece of wood into the ground. And then I move over 2.9 tvachim and I stick another stake into the ground. And then another stake. So I have a whole lineup of stakes along the way. Every stake is within less than 3 tvachim from one another. So if not for Lach Sinai, I would have said as follows. The Mishnah says in Erevin that a mechitza has to be omen ruba laparetz. In order for a mechitza to be good, it has to have more standing than hold. So I would have said, this is a joke, this is more hold than standing. I got 1 inch of a stake and I got 3 tvach, let's say, for argument's sake, you want to take 11 inches, whatever number you want to use. So I have 1 inch of stake, and then I have 10 and a half inches of space, and then enough stake. As you do the math, it's not that hard to figure out. You got more parts than omates. So the Mishnah says, no, that's okay. Why? Because since there's a lach v'sinif lavud, so we view it as if the two stakes are touching one another, they're all connected, and that whole area in between the stakes is sussum, it's all closed up, all the gaps are filled in, and once all the gaps are filled in, so then I have a legamre omate. So the Gemara has that idea, and the Mishnah and the Gemara, at the end of the first paragraph of Erevin, has that idea in two directions. You can do it with stakes, or the Mishnah says, the Gemara says also, you can do it with chavolim, you do it with ropes. So let's say, instead of making a wall, so I have one pole over here, one pole over there, I don't want to make it to Pesach, it's too complicated, whatever it is, I have two poles, and I take a rope, and I want to run a rope from one to the other, but I make sure to run that rope less than 3 tvach off the ground. And then I run another rope, 2.9 tvachim above that rope, and then another rope, 2.9, and then another one. So lamaisa, the same way that we closed up the area between the stakes, and that's okay. So too, the mishnah is makifim mechavolim. You can do ropes also, as long as you're careful that you don't have a break of 3 tvachim between them. So that's the mishnah. That's a fresh mishnah. That's a whole sugya in Maseches. The end of the first bank of Maseches Erevin. So the pasha pshat is that what works for Erevin should work for sukkah as well, so that we should be able to use the principle of lavud in terms of building the walls of a sukkah. So some came up with this gaval ke'etza, that put up your prefab, put up your canvas sukkahs, no problem, let them flap in the wind a little bit, no problem, no big deal. Even according to the non-Chazanish people, it's going to be kosher. Why? Very simple. Take some ropes or some strings instead. It used to call them the gartels. Take some strings and put a string from one of the metal poles. I mean, all these fab, all these canvas sukkahs have metal poles. That's what they're connected to. So take a string and run it from one pole to the next pole. Just be careful that it's less than 3 tvachim off the ground. Then go up another 2.9, noch a string. And you have to make sure you have enough strings. And you end up, the top string is more than 10 tvachim off the ground. And there was never a break. So the canvas. I don't even need the canvas. I have a perfectly kosher sukkah with the strings. You make the strings really, really, really tight so they're not going to move in the wind at all. So, shut. You have a kosher sukkah, even according to the non-Chaznish people. That was the Gevaldike Eitzah. So, there were a few catches with this Eitzah. So, first of all, it's interesting to note that the Chaznish himself probably wouldn't have been machshir the sukkah, because the Chaznish has a chiddush gol against the Mishapur, against the contemporary early poskim held. Chazanish seems to say that lavud doesn't really work like this in a sukkah. Lavud works in a sukkah in very, very limited scope. You can't really build an entire wall based on lavud. For Shabbos, yeah, for sukkanish, they're not always the same. And therefore, according to Chazanish, invoking lavud to mamish build a wall of a sukkah, mitchilevi atzoif, is not at all so partial. So that's the bad news. The good news is that we're only trying to be makshir the sukkah according to the non-Chazanish. According to the Chazanish, the sukkah is anyway kosher because it's got the canvas. So we're not mechuyev to take the chumras of both. We're going to take the Chaznish's chumah that lava doesn't work, and then we're going to take the chokum and the Chaznish and say that the canvas doesn't work. So okay, then you end up kerech mekan mekan. So that much you're not mechuyev to do. So that was one potential glitch with this eitzah. Another potential glitch with this eitzah is a Magen Avraham that discovered a Tosus that says it claims that Tosus said that b'medvar memurim that you can build a sukkah base that just love it alone, that's only if you have a four-wall sukkah. But if you only have a three-wall sukkah, it's not going to work. Sisra Torah, where'd that come from? So it's based on a complicated sukkah in the end of the first part of Erevin, where the Gemara talks about when you have a mechitz that's only based on love, that's what's called a mechitzah grua. It works, but it's not quite on par with regular mechitzas, and there are certain chumras with the Rabbanan that maybe it doesn't always work. So the Magen Avraham claims, based on a Tosfos, that for hilchos sukkah somehow it doesn't work. It means if you build a four-wall sukkah based on love, that would work. If you build a three-wall sukkah based on love, that's not going to work. So what's the big deal? So build a four-wall sukkah based on love, no big deal. So go all around, no four sukkah. What's the problem? The jump rope hanging into the sukkah. You're going to climb over the wires, over the strings. Obviously, you have to leave one side open, otherwise you can't get into the sukkah. So you have to figure out an eitzah. So maybe you'll leave part of the fourth wall open. Maybe you'll just leave a little bit for the door. Maybe you'll have because remember, a wall with sukkah 7 tefachim. So in theory, you can have one side of a lovot, one side of lovot, one side of lovot, and a half a side of lovot. So then you have a four-wall sukkah, and you have the Magen Avraham and the Tosfos Chumra, and you're good to go. So there are different nuances, different permutations of people who build these lovot sukkah strings. So there are some who left off, and say, I don't need lovot. B'nai Brak, Chazanish is good enough. Chazanish is good enough for me. The sukkah is moving in the wind. Who cares? That's fine. And there are others who want to say, no, not so simple. I want to start building the lovot strings. So you can build lovot strings in different ways. So there's some people who start building lovot strings on all four sides, and they're trying to kind of finagling, and others who build lovot strings on only three sides, and say, we're not chayish for that Magen Avraham, that Tosfos Chumra, the Rabbanan, and half the person didn't say it's true anyway. So at the kach, we're not mechuyav to be chayish for us. So yesh v'yesh, in terms of the building of lovot. Then you have different nuances of how do you cheshbon out lovot. The problem with the cheshbon out lovot is that we have no idea how much a tefach of. So some person say tefach is 3 inches, some tefach is 4 inches, some say tefach somewhere in the middle. So there are a lot of people who want to make the following cheshbon. They want the smallest lovots, but they want the biggest 10 tefachim. It's the same shaila, just opposite. So if you're looking for very small lovuds, so if you do the math, so you're going to have a break between your strings of less than 9 inches, right? Because the smallest shear of tefachim is 3 inches, so then you're going to need less than 9 tefachim. So you're going to start, your first string is going to be a little bit shy of 9 inches off the ground. Then your next string is going to be just a little bit shy of 18 inches off the ground. A little bit, it's going to be 27, 36. So I thought 4 should do the trick. It's not going to do the trick, because now you turn around and say, oh, wait a second, who said that a tefach was 3 inches? Maybe a tefach is 4 inches. So now I need a 40-inch sukkah, so I need a fifth string. So the guy's, he's trying to make sure that he's covering his bases on the smallest end of the bottom and the biggest end of the top. So all of a sudden, his 4 strings just turned into 5 strings. So you have a lot of nuances, so people could drive themselves a little wild. Erev Sukkah is trying to touch up all the strings to make sure. And then after you build this grandiose contraption, the first kid comes and yanks the first string out, and the whole thing collapses. Okay, so you have to be careful about that also. Anyway, bottom line is this whole chop and the whole love of strings was something that was started 30, 40 years ago to try to offset this concern of the Mechita Sheinich HaLamud, which again, according to some, is not even a problem in the first place. Okay, hopefully we'll mention next week. We'll try to continue a little bit more about this. Are there any chance you guys want that matter? I don't want to be matriarch anybody to do anything that would be more complicated for you. If anyone, we only have